What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Telling the brethren yesterday online what a blessing it's been to have little Piper with us this week, and how that I've learned that she lets you know when she wants something very clearly and plainly. She's, for the most part, doesn't cry very much. Just every once in a while grunts a little bit and cries. But there was a certain time of the day when things aren't going just right as far as one thing she's needing. She lets you know real quick when that time comes. About every 2 hours, she lets you know that it's time to eat, that I need something to eat. And you can almost set your watch by it, because she'll be just fine. You can smile at her and she'll smile back. You can put a pacifier in her mouth and she'll suck on that a while, and she'll just seem so completely satisfied with life and everything about it until that 2 hours rolls around, and then you can give her all the toys, pacifier, whatever you want to do. She's not interested. She's not interested in you putting her on her shoulder and patting her on the back. She's not interested in anything else, but she wants something to eat. She's hungry. I hope that's the way you are this morning. I hope you've come like newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word. I hope and pray that's the way you feel. I know that the Lord is able to supply what we need. I know the Lord is the one who gives us the appetite. The Lord is the one who gives us life. The Lord is the one who gives us the ability to share the gospel. The Lord is the one who's given us the gospel. This gospel is not a gospel we made up. It's a gospel given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus preached it. And His disciples preached it. They preached it because the Lord gave it unto them to preach. And He gave unto them the ability to preach it. They gave it unto others who gave it to faithful men. And down through the ages of time, since the Lord built His church, we've had this good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to share with God's little children, who need it as much as little Piper needs the food that she wants naturally, to grow naturally. We need that spiritual food in order to grow spiritually. And I just pray that we keep that appetite. You know, we can lose your appetite. Even little babies can lose appetite. But if they do, it'll be a hindrance to them. You need that nutrition. You need that nourishment. We can get so wrapped up in the world that we lose that appetite. And I pray the Lord will help us to do what He has given us, that we would walk in it in a way that we would not grow cold and callous to these things. If I have any thoughts this morning and surrounding that, and I just pray that the Lord will bless us to share with you what I've had on my mind this morning, and that it would be a benefit to you. I certainly need your prayers as I stand before you. And again, I hope you're real hungry. And that always helps the feeding when the ones you're feeding are hungry. And if you're hungry, you'll be praying. And if you're praying, the Lord is able to answer the prayers. And we'll supply just what we need and just how we need it. So. And if that happens, we give the Lord the glory for it, right? We give Him all the praise and the honor. for any good thing. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you today from the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. We'll begin reading right at the first verse of Colossians chapter 3. This is the writings of the Apostle Paul. He wrote by the will of God, and he wrote to the saints and to the faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. And it's written to God's children. Today it's given to us here at Happy Creek. This is God's personal letter, God's personal word, written, kept by inspiration of God. The Lord not only gave His word, but He's preserved His word, and He's given it to us for this morning, for today. And if we get to this afternoon, we'll have His word for this afternoon. And if we get to tomorrow, we'll have His word for tomorrow. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have the preserved word of God given to us for as many days as we live here in this world? And whatever trial, whatever trouble you have to face in this world, we've got that which truly furnishes us unto all good works, given to us in the word of God. And we don't have to speculate about that. God's word tells us that. It's been given by inspiration of God. He's preserved it. He's kept it. And you and I have it today. We can build our lives upon the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture told us to be as wise men who build their house upon a rock. And the one who hears the words of Jesus hears them because he has life. Hears them because he's been given ears. Hears them because the Lord's given it to them. And the one who hears those words and does them, not just a hearer, but a doer, and does them, puts them into place in his life, is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And not if the storms come, but when the storms come. For most of us, the storms have already hit. For some of us, a few maybe, things have been pretty smooth. I haven't had too many storms. Well, just hang in there while the storms are coming. And I found the older I get, the more the storms come. And it seems like the nights come real quick and the days get fewer and fewer. And it seems like we have one thing hit right after another. But I will testify to you that we have a God that we can look to in the storms of life and always find just what we need. And He's also supplied to us His Word where we can build our house. We can live our lives. We can enter in into that straight and narrow way, into that narrow way through the straight gate, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can enter into the narrow way, and that path is a path of peace and a path of rest, even if it's in the midst of the storm. Has the Lord given you peace in a storm? Have you had some storms in your life and found the Lord give you peace in the storm? Isn't it good to know we've got a God who's greater than the storms, who is able to supply and does supply just what we need? He said here in chapter 3 of the book of Colossians, he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Sure, practical, plain language from the Word of God for us as God's little children. I heard a preacher talking about a particular passage, and he read the passage and then told the congregation that he was speaking to. He said, "I don't really even have to preach on that passage. It preaches itself." And as I was reading this particular passage, I thought the same thing as I was reading it. It just is so clear and so plain to us. If the Lord gives us an eye to see it and an ear to hear it and a heart to understand it, it preaches itself. He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." And I think about what a wonderful blessing it is to think about being risen with Christ. What that really means. To be risen with Christ is to say that Christ is risen. It is declared that we have a risen Savior, that we have a Savior who lives. When they came seeking Jesus and seeking to anoint His body after His resurrection, they came to seek Him and they said, "You seek the living among the dead. He's not here. He lives." Our Savior came into this world to die. But not just to die. Yes, He died. But rather He rose again. He's a living, risen Savior. And what does it mean that Jesus died and that He lives? What does that mean for us? Well, Jesus came into this world to save His people from their sins. That's what He came for. And we've already heard in the sweet prayer Brother London offered how that He never went anywhere He wasn't supposed to go. Never talked to anyone that He wasn't supposed to talk to. Never said a word out of place, always was right where He was supposed to be, and fulfilled the law to every jot and to every tittle. He dotted every I, He crossed every T, He lived a perfect life, and He came to go to the cross. That was a purpose in His coming. He had a love for the children of God. He had a love for His Father, who had given unto Him the lambs and the sheep that the Lord chose in covenant before the foundation of the world. In a covenant of grace, Jesus Christ was given every one of the elect family of God. And it was for them that He came here into this world. He came down not to do His own will, He said, but the will of the Father which is sent Him. And that Father's will is that He would give eternal life to everyone that the Father had given Him. That He would supply that which was necessary that one day you and I might be with Him in glory. We have a resurrected Savior. If we deny the resurrection, even the resurrection of our bodies, we're saying that Jesus didn't rise. What that really means, as the Apostle Paul was teaching that in 1 Corinthians 15, is that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ also assured the resurrection of every one of His children. That Jesus' resurrection made our resurrection sure. That because He lives, we will live. Because He's seated on the right hand of the Father, you and I can be assured of a resurrection that is coming, an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, that's reserved in heaven for us. He's made that promise to us. As we've already said, He's a promise-keeping, covenant-keeping Savior. He doesn't promise something and not fulfill that promise. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Now, when Christ rose, we were with Him. And as sure as He rose, we are in a sense seated as He is seated on the right hand of the Father, we being with Him, our assurance of being with Him in glory is sure because Jesus is right now in glory in our room instead. But the Lord didn't just leave it in that sense and let us live our lives being dead all the time and then at the moment of death we might be quickened and carried home to be with the Lord. No, He saw fit to bring about a resurrection already in our lives. There's a sense which we've already seen a resurrection. Now it's not the resurrection of our bodies. That's yet to come for us. There's a day coming. We believe that the Lord's going to come again. As sure as He went away, as He went into heaven, the Lord's going to return. He's not going to return to try to save someone. He's already done that. But He's going to return to gather up all those that He's already saved and secured so that all that the Father gave it to Him will be with Him not only in spirit, but in body, soul, and spirit. He's going to come and gather all that He bought and paid for. And He will not lose a one. That's good news. We have a sweet hope in Him that one day we'll hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And those who are alive and remain, and it could be at any moment, it could be at any time. We're waiting on the Lord. He's not waiting on us. He knows the time. He knows the moment. It's known unto the Father. And that hour and that day, when He comes, it'll be at the appointed time of the Father. And He will come and we'll hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's an assured promise that we've been given by the Lord, that you and I can have a sweet rest in this world no matter what circumstances are happening in our lives. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now how else are we risen with Christ? Well, we're risen with Him if we've been born again. He's talking about the new birth here. He's talking about those who've been quickened and made alive. Remember when the Lord talked with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus came asking questions about the new birth. And Nicodemus was told, you must be born again. In other words, in order to have spiritual eyesight, you have to be born again. In order to have spiritual ears, you have to be born again. In order to see spiritual things, in order to see the kingdom, or to enter into the kingdom of Almighty God, you have to be born again. And that birth is from above, and it's not of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, but it's of God. The Lord does that at some point in time for everyone of His elect children. Those that He foreknew before the foundation of the world, He effectually calls in the new birth. He talks about that over in chapter 2 of the Colossian letter. And He's saying, if this has happened to you, if you have risen with Him, that isn't that you got yourself into that state, it's the work of God. But if you have had that happen to you, and you are born of His Spirit, if you be risen with Christ, He says there's something for us to be about in our lives. Today, I believe that's why we're here. We're seeking His blessings. We're seeking His presence. We're seeking to worship Him. We're hungering and thirsting. We've been made alive by the Lord, and now we need to have fellowship with Him. We come here to thank the Lord, but we come here to learn of Him so that we might better live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. In chapter 2 and verse 6, He says this, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now, is there a receiving of the Lord? Absolutely. God's little children, we're to receive Him. Now, we receive Him not in order to get life. We don't accept Him to get life, as the world would teach you, that you'll just accept the Lord, or if you'll just receive the Lord, then a dead man can't do that. How do we know that a dead man can't do that? Because a dead man doesn't know anything, and he can't do anything. In order to receive the Lord, you have to know the Lord. In order to know the Lord, you have to have faith. In order to have faith, you have to have life. Life must precede any action. That's just common sense. You have to be born from above before you can do anything. So how did you and I receive Jesus Christ, Jesus the Lord? Well, I said to you that it was by grace that we received the Lord. Wouldn't you say that? Do you think you did that on your own? Do you think you just changed your way? The Bible says it's impossible for the Ethiopian to change the color of his skin or a leopard his spots. And just as impossible as that is, it is impossible for those who are accustomed to do evil to turn and start doing good. The Bible says not only can we not do it, we will not do it. That we don't have the want to do it or the ability to do it. And it takes a work of grace in order for us to do anything in the service of God. So today, if you have been able, by the grace of God, and I pray that you have, to be able to rest in what Jesus did. In other words, you've been able to see what Jesus did, that He came to save His people from their sins, and you believe that He did that. That Jesus walked in this world and took upon Himself our sins, and there at Calvary, the wrath of God that would have been poured out on me and you for all of the sins that I've ever committed, all the wrongs that I've done, and I think of my wrongs and it grieves my heart. As I said, and think at times, you know what happens to me sometimes? I look around me and I see others acting and behaving in some particular way that I think is so ugly and so impure, and remember the very time that I would have sat right there with them and not only been in the crowd, but probably been the one foremost in the crowd doing those things. So that when I see even those things around that kind of plague me now, that trouble me now, I remember with me how many times I've been in them. And it's not only what I used to do, it's what I'm having trouble with right now in the pulpit. There's enough wrong. There's still some things I'm laboring with. I have sin that plagues me. I have problems that plagues me. And I can't get... What a day. I'm thankful that the Lord has delivered us from sin in the sense that the penalty of sin He's delivered us from. Are you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful for that? The penalty of sin, by the way, the wage of sin, it's not just a stripe or two. It's eternal separation from God in a place of torment. We don't speculate about that. That's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. That word death means a separation from God. It's His eternal judgment, the wrath of God. He says it here in verse 6, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. That means God judges sin. And if Jesus hadn't paid our price, then the price would still need to be paid. And the way that that would be paid is our eternal separation from God in hell for eternity. And I know that's a grave thought. I know that can trouble your heart. And I hope and pray in a sense it breaks your heart. I hope and pray in a sense it causes you to grieve and to mourn, to think about how that which I deserve. But at the same moment, I hope you're relieved by the wonderful knowledge that the penalty of sin has been paid by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He didn't try to do it or make it just possible for it to get to be done. He didn't do all He could do. And now it's left up to you. But He came to fulfill the will of the Father. And that was to pay the sin debt we could not pay. And there at Calvary, the price was paid. When Jesus rose again from the grave, those sins that He had borne in His body were left right there in that grave, just like the grave clothes were left in that grave. Those sins were left there. And you know what will be remembered against us? Not one thing forevermore would be remembered against us, because the penalty of sin has been removed. Thank God for that. there would be no hope for us entering to heaven. And even beyond that, our time here this morning would be a waste of time. Brother London's prayer, as sweet as it was, wouldn't have been sweet. It would have been a waste of time. The songs we sung would be empty words in a room that was, it wouldn't leave out of this room. I believe our songs were heard in heaven. I believe Brother London's prayers were heard in heaven. I believe the prayers of God's little children were heard in heaven. I believe the needs we expressed were heard in heaven. And the reason they were heard in heaven is because a Savior died and took care of the penalty of sin and removed that which would have separated us from God. I know I'm loud. I'll back off a little bit. Thank you, Sister Barb. And removed it as far from us as the east is from the west. Never to be remembered against us anymore. And he says, if ye be risen with Christ, if Christ has done something for you, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, if you've been born of His Spirit of God, he says then, if He's done that, you seek those things which are above. He says, as ye have therefore, over in verse 6 of chapter 2, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. And I love the words that describe our Savior here. He's Christ. He's the Messiah. Aren't you glad the Messiah has come? We're not looking for the Messiah to come. We believe He's come. We believe He's already done what He came to do, that He finished that work. We believe that He's seated on the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us, and that He's going to return again. And when He comes again, He's going to carry us out of this world forever to be with Him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We believe that He set up His kingdom, and we're enjoying that kingdom today in His church as we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we're waiting for Him to come and carry His kingdom out of this world to be with Him in heaven forever and ever, world without end, and an inheritance that's incorruptible. Corruptible, that's undefiled, that fadeth not away, that is reserved in heaven for you. And the you there is every one of God's little children. And that ought to have an impact on how we live this morning, and how we think, and what we believe, and how we face our problems, and how we face our good times, and what we have in life every day, every blessing, if we keep our minds where they're supposed to be by the grace of God. And don't we have every reason to do that, given what's given to us here in God's Word? He says, as ye have therefore received Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, the Savior, our Lord, who's our Lord and Master. He says, so walk ye in Him. In other words, it's by grace that we received Him in the first place. How did the Lord get in our heart? He put Him in our heart. How did we have life? He quickened us. He made us alive. What did we do to get this? Not one thing. We were born again. Just like no baby had did anything to get born. We didn't do anything to get our new birth. It was the work of Almighty God. And if you're going to walk in Him, how are you going to walk? By the same power that you received Him. You received Him by grace. So how am I going to walk, man? How am I going to walk? Got to be by grace. In other words, if I'm going to be what I'm supposed to be, it's going to take God's grace. Now, does God have enough grace? Yes, He does. God has enough grace. God's grace is sufficient. Whatever you got in front of you, whatever affliction you have in front of you, God's grace is sufficient. God can fix it. God can give you peace with it. Whatever you're going through this moment, God's grace is sufficient. His grace cannot fail. He cannot fail. And He's proven that to us over and over again. He proved it to us in that He sent His only begotten Son, and Jesus accomplished the will of the Father, and we have a home awaiting us in glory, and He's taken care of us from the time we were little ones all up through our lives. Just as that little piper is dependent upon what we do to help her, I think of the Heavenly Father loving every one of His children, much more than we could ever love one of our children, much more So much more that He took His Son and sent His Son in our room instead to die for us. You are special in the sight of God. It's a strange thing when you come to an old Baptist church and they first of all tell you how rotten and no good you are and how there's not a good thing about you. And in the next moment, they tell you you're special. You're chosen of God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And the difference is what we are by nature. Nothing. And what we are by Christ, we're the sons of God. We are heirs and joint heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been chosen not because of what you've done, in spite of what you've done. And you are a generation. You are born of His Spirit, regenerated, given life. And He's given you that life that you might let that light shine. That light is not you. It's Christ in you. It doesn't glorify the man. It glorifies the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It points to Him. That light makes you walk humbly, not proudly. That light makes you walk in meekness. That light makes you kind. That light makes you look different. In the eyes of the world, you look weak. You describe a little child of God into the world and they say, that's just a weakling. Listen, the strongest man on this earth is that meek, little, humble character who wouldn't hurt a fly and would do anything he could to help anyone along the way, even those who would misuse him. But I'm telling you, he's strong because he has a Savior who's watching over him just like a mother would watch over a baby. And you know what happens when you get between a mama and a baby. You're in trouble. That is, if it's a good mama. I'm telling you, you're in trouble. And I'm saying to you that our Heavenly Father is better than any mother, better than any father. He is a Heavenly Father that cares for His children, and He will not lose one of them. Will He correct them? Absolutely. Will He instruct them along the way? Absolutely. When they get off the path, can the rod and the staff that He carries pull one of those little sheep back into the way? I've been there. Thank God He chastens us. When you've done something wrong, you don't need the preacher to call you up and say, I did it wrong. Even though it might call you, the Lord might call you, use the preacher to do that. You might come in on Sunday morning one day feeling like I've really done good this week. And by the end of the sermon, just recognize how far short I've come. The Lord may indeed use that. Isn't it good though that the Lord doesn't let us get by with stuff? You know, I think about my mom and daddy. They were good parents because they didn't let me get by with much. Well, I got by with more than I should have. But for the most part, they didn't let me get by with much. Somebody would have said, might have called them abusive in this day and age. I can tell you what, that rod never hurt me. I mean, it hurt me at the moment, but it wasn't hurtful in the long run. And it showed that they loved me. It showed that they cared about me. Sometimes the Lord does that right here. And it tells me that He loves me. Well, I'm so thankful for that. It's an evidence that I've, hopefully, by the grace of God, I've risen with Him. I didn't rise with Him by getting myself there. It's by what He's done for me. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him. You know how we can walk right? Rooted and built up in Him. That's how you're going to be able to do what you're supposed to do. You have a responsibility as a daddy. You have a responsibility as a mother. You have a responsibility in whatever calling you're in. Grandparent, grandmama, whatever it is, whatever your response, a sister, brother, whatever you are, we have a responsibility where the Lord has put us. Has the Lord been good to us? Oh, think about how good the Lord has been. And you and I have a responsibility to live like it, to react to problems like it, to live in this world so that when something comes in our life, we don't act like those who don't believe, but that we trust in Him. That I'm not alone. Listen, God's little children have trouble in this world. You're going to have problems. You're going to have concerns. You're going to have things that happen that you don't have control over. And I'm telling you, though, we're not alone. We have a Savior who loves us, who died for us. And heaven's our home because of His promises. And He will supply in those storms of life just what you need at just the right time. And you and I can rest in that. And He's already proven it to us. All we have to do is remember. As little Sister Robin always wanted that song we sang when we started this morning. I never sing that song without thinking that, dear sister. Count your blessings and name them one by one. And you will remember how good the Lord has been to you. And that'll help you right now as you live here in this world. That you walk rooted and built up in Him. And established in the faith. I want you to be established in the faith. I want the doctrine of grace to mean something to you. I don't want you to be shaken by every little wind of doctrine. Every so-called preacher that comes along and tells you a great list of what you need to do. And if you don't get done, this done and that done or some other thing. Rather than shaking your faith, you remember that salvation is not in Him. It's not in a church. It's not in water. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did. And when Jesus died on the cross, that's something I can rest in. I can be resting in what Jesus did for me. And it gives me the strength to get by every day. Because the same Lord who died for me will freely give me everything that I stand in need of. If God be for me, Romans 8 says, who can be against me? Y'all believe that, don't you? If we believe that, shouldn't we live like it? If we're going to be established in the faith, it's not just something we're going to say with our mouth. It's going to make a difference when we face the problems of life. When you lose a dear loved one that means so much to you. It's that faith that lets you know if it's all right. You know what your eyes will tell you? I can't see them anymore. What your ears will tell you? I can't talk to them anymore. What your old natural heart will tell you? It's done. But you know what grace tells you? Grace tells you to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Grace tells you that they're in the presence of the Lord. Grace tells you that He has taken care of all of their problems. There is no more trouble for them. It is well with them. Those that have gone on to be with the Lord. Many of them that used to fill the pews in this church. I think about as I look over the congregation this morning of the different ones that have been here. They're not gone. Yes, they're gone in the sense that they're not physically here. But I'll tell you what faith tells me. Faith tells me they're with the Lord this morning enjoying heaven and the beauty of heaven. And I don't know what all that is, but I know it's going to be good. And I know that by His grace. The Bible says it doth not yet appear what it shall be, but we'll be like Him. And the Old Testament tells us, and we'll be satisfied. Oh, I'll tell you, even the best of days here in this world, we can usually find something we're not quite satisfied with. I mentioned about the presence of sin, the penalty of sin. The Lord's delivered us from that penalty of sin, but He's also delivered us from the power of sin. That doesn't mean sin doesn't have an impact on us, but it doesn't have that that power of dominion that it once had. In other words, before the Lord dealt in our lives, we didn't have any power to stop sinning. We should have stopped. But because of our fallen nature, we wouldn't stop and we couldn't stop. There was no other course for us. No other way that we knew. The carnal mind, that's all it knows. Not one good thing in us. But once the Lord has dealt in our hearts, given us life, we have a power we didn't have before. Not of us, but in the Lord. And we don't have to be like we were. Now, we're going to still have sin about us. The very day we leave this world, we're going to have sin in our lives. I've already told you that it even enters up in here in the pulpit, and I'm sure in the pew, that you're probably fighting a battle right now. I don't need to hear about it, but you're probably fighting a battle right on the pew where you are, where the old flesh is just constantly there trying to rob you. But you have a power in the Lord. To resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Put the old man under and under subjection. He says here, he says, seeing that ye, verse 9 of chapter 3. Wow, okay. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. We have been given a power and ability, being rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We have been given a power in the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to not walk in the way that the old flesh is leading us. We can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what he says. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then in closing, I'd just like to think not only about the power, but also the very presence of the Lord, of the sin. One day we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. I won't have to worry about it being with me. Well, won't that be good? Y'all desiring that? Sin bothered you, troubled you. The Lord's given us a power to keep it somewhat down, but it never goes away. Still there. Even when I would do good, the Apostle Paul said this, even when I would do good, I find evil present with me. That's the Apostle Paul. So should we expect any different than that? It says the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That says you cannot do it. And yet, in a sense, we can do it in the Lord. In the Lord we can do it. In the flesh we can't do it. That's why when it comes down to living right, we just can't will it into place. You ever just got up and think, oh, I'll just live better today. I'll just act better. I'll just talk better. My wife gets up and sasses me, I won't sass her back. I'll be better. I surely will act better. I'll talk better, behave better. I'll do better. And then the first thing comes along. Usually it doesn't take long. There you are, messed up again. Been there? As soon as you mess up, the old devil comes in. Am I talking to you? The old devil comes in and says, "You see, if you really wanted his, you wouldn't have done that." Tries to rob you of that joy. Tries to take that peace from you. Tries to steal some measure of that rest. Do you know when the Lord is finished with us, we'll not only have the penalty of sin, which is already taken care of, we'll have and the power of sin, it's already been greatly diminished, but it'll be completely gone, and the very presence of sin's going to be gone. Ain't going to be any sin in heaven. That's one thing that's going to make heaven heaven. Won't be any sin there. Everything there will be just right and the way that it ought to be. And the reason for that is because Jesus died and paid the sin debt. I mentioned that one verse about the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And that has for one thing, it tells us how grievous sin is in the sight of God. The judgment that's going to come is going to come because men have sinned. That's real. That's going to happen. You and I will not have that. Our hope is that we will not have that because Jesus has already borne that wrath. You see, that judgment was taken care of when Jesus died on the cross. The wrath of God that would have been poured out on us, God didn't just forget it. A just God demanded payment, and that amount of wrath that would have been ours for an eternity was poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And that judgment was complete in Jesus. And he paid that in full. So when we commit sin, think about that. How much should we not want to be better, to be like him? Not in order for that to be given on our account. That's already given on our account in the Lord Jesus Christ. But just remember what sin is like. And we don't want to walk in a way to displease our Savior. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. I didn't get near where I wanted to get, but I hope it was of some benefit. If it was, give the Lord the praise. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.